Welcome to this week's Fireside Chat with Jesse. I am joined today by Barry Ripes, president and co-founder of Private Cab. Thanks for joining me, Barry.
Thanks for having me, Jesse. I appreciate it.
That's great to have you on this program, sir. It's been a long time coming, and really appreciate your time today. It's always a pleasure seeing you at industry conferences and excited to hear a little bit more about your career.
Sure.
So,
Okay.
Barry, for those people who haven't met you yet, do you mind just kind of introducing yourself and your career in equipment finance?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Jesse. Once again, I appreciate you inviting me and having me. I think as we talked about a couple times in our correspondence, I said, well, I wasn't sure if I was the right person to do this,
Course you
but
are. Of course you are.
I hope that I can add some insights and maybe some knowledge that can help or guide others, in the industry and in the business in general. So I've been in the industry now for 20 years since 2006. So yeah, over 20 years now. I started out at a company called PayNet, which I know that many in the industry are familiar. I was in a different business, and my experience was a little different. But I saw that there was a business model here. I went on their website and things like that. And I wasn't the person that was looking for a $200,000 salary. I was looking for, I got a couple of runs left in me. Where are they going to be? And when you go from one thing to another, I had started another company. I was president of that for a long time. And when just because you're president of one thing doesn't mean you know blank about anything else. So you have to kind of eat your ego and say, okay, start at the bottom, which is what I did. And that's kind of how I got introduced to PayNet. Really, it was a very interesting company. We were as we you know somewhat in the mind-changing business there, revolutionizing what was going on with the data and analytics, and especially in equipment finance. We started the business, or at least when Bill did, and then I came out, and we started the business in equipment finance, mostly because the lenders and originators in equipment finance were the most willing to give data. That was our gift to get was the model there, right? We got to give data to get the data back. And they were the most willing, especially in equipment finance, to give data. Later on, we got into banks and then into fintechs when that was rising, right? But by then, and now it's pretty much a standard that lenders will give. Got together where we actively kind of said, hey, it's time to kind of decide what it was going to be, and prepared that we would maybe sell the company or whatever. And eventually, it started out as a partnership with Equifax. They came in. I think ended up buying us at PayNet, and it was very Mark Begor, who's the CEO of Equifax, kind of called it, and Bill will tell you this, a reverse merger, that they rolled their business into ours and asked our management team to stay and lead the buying business. And we had a great experience there at Equifax. They did what they said they were going to do, and we did. We were able to really grow the business for them, which was great. I had,
Awesome.
for me, it was a really good learning experience, as far as I had not been in a public company before, in a company that large, right? I had been mostly in startups, my own, and then PayNet. And then, but it had met, great, had a great team, and I had a real combined team there. I led the financial services business on the commercial side at Equifax. And I met a lot of really great relationships and colleagues there, and we just had a tremendous experience, and I learned a great deal.
Sure. And as you said, PayNet's the standard, right? I mean, it's when you guys were getting into it, what was there, like Fair Isaac Liquid Credit was one of the scoring models.
That was certainly one, and mostly Dun & Bradstreet and Experian, that were kind of the main competition, a little, with the main guys, especially in equipment finance, which we were competing against.
And now you don't really even see them pop up. I mean, yeah, they're still there, but more just from a data perspective, not a as in-depth of a scoring model, in my opinion.
I mean, we worked hard to create really good relationships at PayNet, and to build the business the right way over the long time, over a long term. And it was not an e easy, but it was a step by step, and it was as like anything, when you're growing businesses, the interesting, or I like to call the fun part, is figuring it out. You have There's always challenges, things like that, and you go from there.
Sure. No, absolutely. So, do you mind just kind of introducing Private Cap?
Sure. So just kind of the progression from there was, as we had a great experience, as I said earlier, at Equifax. And then, as we saw interest rates rising, And I, like I said, I led the financial services business in the commercial side. We saw that a lot of the banks were pulling out of funding the originators, right? It was a little harder to get capital. And we felt that that maybe opened up, especially for the, smaller bank owned and independents, medium-sized independents were having a little bit of trouble. So we looked at that as that was an opportunity for us to kind of bring in private credit, private capital, which is, I know that's a buzzword right now. You hear it's all you hear, but maybe there was an opportunity to bring in as a new funding source and that we could go to. So we went around to different private credit firms and we're able to get a partner. We have a partner who, so we were buying portfolios. The deals that we would buy portfolios were not originating and put them into funds for investors. And that's what we're doing. We have a credit parameters that we're looking at. So we're trying to buy assets and as many we can in business essential equipment and what we would call small ticket. Everybody has a different definition of what small ticket is, right? Sometimes it's always on, is it under 250? Is it under? So we look at it as business essential equipment for individual transactions of $1 million and less. And majority for us probably fall in the 25 or 50,000 into 450 because, transport, when we're doing transportation, construction, medical, and all general across the board, and also looking for things that are newer, whether it's in electric vehicle charging stations or things like that. We want to be innovative and want to look for new things. And, we have the experience in obviously assessing credits from our old business and from what we did and all we learned. And now we're kind of just taking that and shifting it. So at PayNet, our motto was kind of access to capital for small and medium-sized businesses, right? That's what we were trying to do, make it easier with the data we're providing so you have more insight into these small businesses where you hadn't before. And now, so that they would be able to access capital better, get more loans, new business. And it's really the same thing, right? But only shifting a little bit where we're actually buying the paper and holding it, those kind of things. We're not originating, so we're not competing against originators. We're looking for partners. We have, yeah, so I'll stop there. Go ahead.
Okay, no, perfect. Yeah, I was gonna ask. So it's like, do you guys have a direct sales force who's out there looking to make these, or is that you that's out there looking for these
Oh no,
folks?
that's a good question. So let me go with where we are still small. We've spent the last year, let's call this, building up a lot of our infrastructure, right? From our own credit models to our cash flow models, all of that, getting our processes in place. We've hired our chief risk officer, hired marketing, we hired our CFO. We are in the process of hiring more analysts. I think I just talked to you about somebody as we're hiring for help with syndication. So initially, it was certainly myself and Bill, right? Because look, we were lucky enough over our course of our time at PayNet to have long-term relationships with many, many people, right? And as part of, and that's what we're looking to do here is build the same kind of business, a long-term relationships with only now more as partners, right? That we're buying your paper and that we can hopefully make it a frictionless experience for you, right? Be there for you when you need it and build those same kind of relationships only in a different way, just on the other side of the business. I was lucky enough that when I was leaving Equifax and I had called, I don't know, 30 or so, many of the people that were, originally customers but had become colleagues and friends over the years, right? And that we had, to sell them, hey, I wanted you to know that I'm leaving. What do you need? I want to make sure you're okay after, make sure they're taken care of and all of that kind of stuff and nothing, which they weren't. And others asked me, well, what are you doing? And I said, I kind of explained to them. They said, well, let me know when you get there. We may be interested in talking to you. And that's helped start. So I was able to get something like 36, 37 NDAs in place. And, we're starting relationships now. Like I said, we're at the beginning of our journey. So we have a lot to prove. We have to get a track record, all those things. Nothing is guaranteed. And there's always challenges in any business. You don't start anything without there being challenges. And don't think that, Bill and I haven't said to ourselves, oh, why did we decide to put ourselves through this at this point in our lives? Well, we felt like there was more runs to do. We wanted to do some other things. Everything is about here. The interesting part is learning and challenging and moving, right? That's what keeps you. And it's good. I've had, I've been jokingly said, well, I've had quite an education over the last year because I've had to deal with some different things and learn things and dealing with private credit firms and all that. Nothing in a bad way, all good. But that's what keeps you kind of going, and you figure that out, and that's the interesting part. And now we're really getting to the part where, okay, now we're actually doing what we need to do, which is actively pursuing and buying and partnerships and putting in relationships where we can buy portfolios or pools, all of those kind of things, and put them into funds, right? That takes a while to get to that point. You don't just We wanted to do this the right way, not just jump in and start buying it, but get our infrastructure set up, all of those kind of things, so that we can have sustained growth going forward. Of course, there'll be challenges and won't be perfect, but that's where we're at in this stage of the business, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. So you just answered one of the questions I had. So we do one-off transactions, or do you want more bulk?
Yeah, we're trying to buy portfolios, tranches, that kind of stuff. Especially initially, we're not like where brokers come to us and buy one-off deals and do that kind of a thing. That's not what we're doing. We're trying to create relationships where we can buy. And we have some, like with discounters and stuff, where we can maybe help them set up a small line, whatever, where they would coalesce and we could buy on a tranche every month or every quarter, depending on what that is. Yeah, I would, once we have established relationships with some of these guys, if they said came along and said, "Hey, there's this deal, could you help us?" That could be something we could do, but that's a down the line. Right now, we're trying to, as when you start a business, you have to be very, very focused on what we sold to our partners, what we said we're going to do, not get distracted with other things, be very, very, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I
Well,
get it.
it's very easy to do that, right? And that doesn't get you anywhere. So you have to be very focused on what we're going to do, which is we said that's what we're going to do. We're going to try to buy portfolios, create, build relationships, make it frictionless, put them into funds, and get going. In 2 years from now, when we have a good sized portfolio going, and we know our business very well and our track record's good, well, then you can think about maybe branching into other things. But it's not what we want to do initially, if that makes sense.
No, makes complete sense. And that's do you allow this, do you want the servicing when you buy these, or do you allow the other people to still service?
No, that's a good
Sorry for
question.
all, just sorry for all these questions, just more of a
No,
curiosity
that's
kind of
great.
thing.
Good question. No, that certainly is a good question. No, we prefer, and most of our partners prefer, that they continue to service the portfolio. They want to retain the customer, to do more business with them. That's what we want. We certainly have retained and can step in if we need to. Obviously, that's part of what we had to do. If we have a servicing contract with a provider, we can do that. But that's
Sure.
not what we're trying to do, or what our main business is.
I don't blame you. I mean, it's the one less thing you have to worry about
Right.
as well.
And our partners want to retain it. We're there. What we're hoping to do is that our deal is that we can hopefully be, a funder for you, that we're opening up more work that you can grow, that our partners can grow their business. Because let's say if they have a line of hypothetically 200 million, and they're bumping up against it, and they need to sell assets, whether it's just part of their business that they do that, or whether it's for, concentration issues, or because for term, limits of their line, that we can be there for them, and that's providing more capital to help them grow. That's what we want to do, and that's what we think that's the value that we think that we're providing.
Great. Thank you for the explanation. So going from service provider to funding source,
Yes, it's different. Yeah.
let's talk about that
Sure.
transition, if you don't mind, because I think
No,
you and
not
I
at
have been
all.
in the industry pretty much the same. I got in late 2005, so just over 20 years, and I've only been on the service provider side. I do help some companies with capital markets, so I'm kind of learning that on the fly as I go. But like, so what's that like when you're a service provider managing a bunch of clients to now you're the client that service providers are coming to?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little different. I would say this as a service. I've always, myself and Bill Phelan, partner who started, and those of us at PayNet, we always wanted to be part of the industry, right? An asset is part of the industry, not a fly by night, not somebody just came into the industry to sell something or whatever. We wanted to be part of the industry, right? And be able to, and help it grow, and all of those kind of things. So, and from that part, it's not any different. I want to be part of the industry, and I know but it is different in that we don't have a track record yet. We're just starting to establish our track record on the funding side, right? Why were we able to get this started? Well, because Bill and myself, we have a reputation in the industry, right? People can look us up and say, oh yeah, okay. And our partners who certainly did due diligence on us, trust me, can say, okay,
Sure.
that gets us in the door, right? That gets us in the door, it gets things up and running. But we have to, once again, we have to prove ourselves again. So there's a little bit of a difference there. Once again, I find it fascinating. I like being on the other side. It's a different aspect of it, and it's kind of gets you kind of more well-rounded in the industry and every part of the aspect of it. And I think that's always a good thing, right?
Sure. Except for when you have people like me bothering you saying, hey, what about this? What about that?
Well,
And
that's
it's like,
okay. I like that. I'm glad. And if you have advice after we finish this, podcast or whatever, this cast, and use things we're talking about here that you can talk me on the side, feel free to give me a call. And I'm always open for, I
Sure.
want advice. I like feedback. Those are huge things to me.
Sure. And before I get off, I want to go back to real quick Equifax. So you got or PayNet, you got there in 2006, right? We
Correct.
know what happened in 2008, 2009, 2010. Was that
Sure.
a positive
Yeah, it's
step?
good. I'll go with yes and no.
Okay.
So it was a it was a it, yeah. So it was a positive because certainly at the time we figured that our data was valuable, whether no matter the economic cycle, right? It's just as valuable when there's a recession going, or in that case, almost the financial crisis, if not. What happened during that was, and that's kind of where we helped build our reputation, because I had to do a lot, especially during the financial crisis. We worked with a lot of our clients who either were not originating, were having trouble, and in our at PayNet, we would have contracts where you had to pull a certain amount, or you had a monthly minimums, or things like that, so that you could justify the price, right? That's how we priced it, right? So that somebody who was pulling 10 a month didn't get as good a price as somebody who's pulling 1,000 a month, right? But you had to pay a minimum to get that, whatever. And so I worked with a lot of clients during that to modify contracts, because if you're there for them then, right, then you build up relationships. So I had many that we did with who after that went, and we were a small company at the time. So it did, it, we still grew a little bit during that time, but not as much as we were, obviously, because we weren't getting as many pulls. There was a different,
Sure.
the cycle was down. On the other hand, I think it helped accelerate our growth later on because, we became a partner to a lot of our clients then, right? And we weren't just here to say, oh, we're going to stick to this contract. We said, let's work with you. Let's see what we can do. We're going to help. You need help right now. Don't worry about it. Let's take these minimums off. You'll do this for this price. And then later on, when things started going well, they became loyal customers. They knew we were there. That helped with relationships going down the line, where I could say to customers who became, I became close with and said, no, this is, you should do this because of this. And they'd say, okay, I understand. You know what I mean? Those kind of things. We always were very honest with things. We wanted to be honest with our clients. And that really helped build relationships. And the same thing happened during the pandemic, I think. And we were already at, it was, we had sold to Equifax in April of 2019. And less than a year later, we started, the pandemic hit, right? Before we went into a year. And, I had many, I think I might have had 15 or 20 contracts with people, you know what I mean? Who, you're there for them during the good and the bad times, right? And then that
Sure.
helped later on to build a trust and build that, which is hopefully the same kind of thing we're translating to the new business, right? We want to act the same way.
Sure. And there's so many good words of wisdom in that last 2 minutes of what you just talked about in regards to, when things aren't great, that's when you're truly going to see who your business partners really are.
Exactly.
And then it's rewarded with loyalty. So yeah, I wasn't sure from the data perspective, the modeling based on how other companies were doing it beforehand compared to then, where it was like the give to get, if that was more beneficial after
Yeah, that's a good
that
question.
or
I don't know
not.
if it was more or less. We were still in the mind, in the early days of PayNet, I would go up to guy up clients, and we would try to sell them. They said, yeah, we really like it. We want to use PayNet. And I would say, and Bill got this way before I did, you know what I mean? Even before, because he was there. I didn't come in right at the beginning, Bill Phelan. So he might have different views on some of this. But I said, yeah, we want PayNet. And he'd say, but we have to give data. And they say, what are you, blanking nuts? I'm not giving you our data. Because there was this perception that, oh, somebody would steal their deals, even though it was de-identified on our reports and all that. And then by the end, It was like when I would go to clients, new customers or new, and we'd say, this is to give it to get. It's a give to get relationship. And then said, oh yeah, we know the deal. Don't worry about it. You know,
No,
that's
that's
that
perfect. I think
was the
it's
mindset.
yeah, like a problem. I think at that time, I think that's when the trigger lead stuff started coming out, was around
Yes.
that, and people were like, wait
Yeah.
a minute, like you know how it is. You make an inquiry online, and all of a sudden your phone just blows up for like, you're just like, what? Let's go.
Right. I mean, initially at PayNet, the deal was you wouldn't have to make reference calls because that's what they were all doing, right? You know, if a small business was bought a truck from one person and another piece of equipment for another, they would call around and say, hey, did you get this? And we usually said, hey, you wouldn't have to make reference calls. And our hope was that we'd be able to get enough data that we could start building models and credit models, probability default models, all those kind of things. And we
Perfect.
have all kinds of experiences. Trust me, these big guys like GE Capital, my God, they used to push us around like crazy. I used to manage that account at PayNet, and they would, they loved what we were doing, but they knew that we needed them more than they needed us at the time. And it took us a while to even that out, right?
Sure.
I won't go into all the stories about them.
It's always one of those things where it's like, okay, what's that moment going to be that's finally going to make me push back? Eventually
Exactly.
happens. Eventually happens. That's a good problem to have.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. So,
Well, I'm sorry to revisit what you were talking about
no,
earlier. I
that's
was just
fine.
more of a
Whatever.
curiosity factor. So I want to get into kind of like an equipment finance industry discussion. So
Sure.
2 decades in, I guess kind of what retired from PayNet, from Equifax, restarting this thing with Bill. Like, what's your draw, Barry, to this industry?
Well, obviously the industry is near and dear to both of our hearts, the Bills, and certainly to mine as well. One, if we're talking kind of about the ELFA and the industry in general, so it's near and dear to my heart. We couldn't have built our business without it. I think Bill originally, when he first started, he got introduced to that, and there were some people there that helped kind of build it, and the relationships that we made there and the industry. We couldn't have built the business without it. So I don't take that lightly. Bill served, and I was able to serve. It was an honor for me to serve on the board of directors of the ELFA for 3 years. It was a fantastic experience. Like I said, I've learned so much, made such great relationships. I think the organization is fantastic. I'm not saying that I've been involved with so many trade organizations that I know every one of them, but I certainly think this one, the way they treat everybody, the way the camaraderie that exists there, I think they do things with class and high level. I think that's really good. And the advocacy piece is amazing. And, I think if you want to be, it was one of the things when, as a service provider, that I served on the, I think I was on the Service Providers Business Council for, I don't know, 4 or 5, a number of years or whatever. And one of the things when people would come in, they'd come in, they say, oh, we want to go to a show. They go to one show, and if they didn't sell what they thought they were going to sell, they would leave, right? And that was kind of an issue, right? And my thing to them was, to anybody come in, is, you have to be part of the industry. You take off your, you be part of the industry. You go to all the shows. You have to make a commitment here and be part of it, right? And go to Capital Connections like you do, like I do every year for I've gone for I don't know how many years to Capital Connections, right? All those kind of things and advocate for the industry. So I think it's great. I've made great business relationships there, all of that in the LFA. So I think the industry is terrific, and that's where. When we left Equifax, we wanted to stay. I definitely wanted to stay in the industry. I looked at a couple of different things of starting before talking to Bill, and we kind of decided that this would be the way to go. Not so much to be originators and to compete with that, but to be a funding, bring in more funding source to that. And absolutely, we both really wanted to stay in the industry. That was a big piece for us. And
And
obviously,
then,
aside from the fact that obviously it makes sense, right? We're not idiots that, this is where your relationships are, all of those kind of things. But if you didn't like the people that were there and all that, you wouldn't, right? That's what,
sure. No, absolutely. And I want to touch on a few things you just talked about. So it's not just being a member of ELFA, it's being active as well. And like I remember my first conference, it was probably before you got in, it was the Hurricane
Yeah, I
conference
wasn't there that year. That was like right the year, I think, before I started.
just before you started. And I remember like a bobber and all the Valerie Jester, like the people that I was able to network with, just put their arm around me and walk me around. And I'm forever grateful because, I'm still friends with those people today, even though they're, Valerie's really not that as active, and some others. But if you walk up to somebody in this industry and you ask them, hey, can you make this introduction? It doesn't really matter who they are. The majority of people are just going to say, sure, let me see what I can do.
100%. To your point, in starting this business, I went out because we're doing. I went out to people that I knew and trusted and asked for their advice. I need to know this, or here's what I was. I went to a couple people and said, "Here's what I'm experiencing." When we were getting a certain challenge in the last year, and I said, "Is it me?" I said, "I need to know." You know what I mean? Tell me, what am I doing wrong here? And they would say, "No, this isn't you. This is kind of how things happen." Or how long? Things take longer than this. To get things done. All those kind of things. And you can't do that without those relationships that have become peers, colleagues. They were customers or friends, and have honest relationships where and they can talk to you and say, "No, you want the honest feedback, right? That's what I like. It's what I did when I ran my teams at PayNet and Equifax." I had a it, I always had I had a thing every we had our and when I ran my teams at Equifax, at PayNet and Equifax, on Monday morning, Monday midday was when we'd have our weekly meeting, and that was like the informational meeting, like with both teams that I had and things like that with everybody on there. And at the end of the meet of time, every time I did something what we call kibitz, I would put on there. So I don't know if what kibitz is, so the right, talk, whatever. We go around the room, and then if certainly during the pandemic, during by via on everybody's screen, and say, everybody could say what they wanted to say, right? And I would say, I'm okay with you calling me an idiot. You know what I mean? We want honest feedback, so my teams would talk, right? They would be fine. We'd have honest conversations and honest business conversations, right? And that helps you grow. If nobody's afraid to say things, and nobody can do those things. And to me, if you're in leadership or anything like that, you want feedback. That is the key to everything.
Open door, constructive feedback, and like in what I'm learning, right? Because let's face it, like was always in business development, maybe in a leadership role in business development, but it's kind of like once you get to running a company, like when you get the feedback, you have to be able to pause, take it in.
That's right.
And then
That's it.
also just not act emotional on it. You gotta, things I'm still learning, Barry.
Yeah, no, exactly. We're all still learning, Jesse. That's the best part of everything. I try to, and I'm older than you probably, or we're closer in age, whatever. And it's like, my thing is I want to learn. I try to learn something every day. I try to figure if I can pick up something, or it's why I like to go to conferences, or I go to other things. And maybe, there's plenty of us. We go to whether it's a conference or of some sort, and you go, I didn't really get out of it. But if I go there and I go to some seminar and I get one thing out of it, right, that maybe helps me move something, well, then it was valuable to me, right?
Oh, same page. And then some of the people that I'm sure that you went to for advice, you might even be quasi competing with them, but they're still going to be friendly because that's another caveat of this industry that I love.
Yeah, exactly. Guys are honest with me, and like I said, as long as they know that I would, that we were going to have straightforward relationships, and I would never tell them anything that I wasn't going to do, or vice versa, or do something that I didn't say I was going to do, or something like that. And I think that's always consistency, and I think is really the key to everything there. You got to live your life in a certain way. I have certain standards and whatever. And I'm not saying I'm a saint or like that. I guess really far from it. But you know what I'm saying. You have a certain integrity, and it goes back to another business that I was in and something later on. But like that's
Absolutely. So, Barry, I ask everyone who comes on the program to give me a fun fact about themselves. So, what do you
okay.
enjoy doing outside of work?
Sure. So I'll tell you two things. So one of the things, let me tell you that, so fun fact about myself, and from a business standpoint, as I mentioned, when I first got out of college, I'm from Chicago, and I spent my first 19 years of my life, I was in the trading pit at the Chicago Board of Trade. I was a floor broker in the bond pit. I had an independent. So I was the guy that yelled and screamed in the pit.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
Yeah. So, and I was right. I was the guy that did all that. And one of the reasons how I ended up in this industry is because that industry doesn't exist anymore. And we had to shut down our business, right? Because it all went electronic. And that's what prompted me to how I ended up getting introduced through some mutual friends to Bill Phelan and start, you had to kind of start back in a new career and everything like that. So that's one thing. My other thing I would say is that I'm from Chicago. So late in life, I'll go with this. I took up wakeboarding, okay? We have a house, we live in Chicago, we have a house on the lake in Wisconsin, and I never did any of this when I was a kid or anything like that. I was this guy from Skokie, and all of a sudden my wife kind of got me into this kind of stuff. She was a good skier, and I said, well, I don't want to learn how to water ski. I snow skied, but I didn't want to know how to water ski because I didn't want one leg going one way and one leg going the other way. So I thought if I was tighter. So we kind of got into wakeboarding, and I got obsessed with it and the boat and stuff. And not only that, we go with my wife and one of my sons. We go down through to wake for wakeboard training. We've gone the last 3 years for a couple of days down in Orlando to learn how to jump better and stuff like that.
Okay,
So
so at least you're doing the training in a warm climate. I'm like, are you on Lake Michigan? Like, just dying
no,
on the
we're in a lake
river
in
drifts.
Wisconsin. Not in the winter, you're not doing it. No, but I'm saying, so that's kind of one thing is that. And then I'm a from being from Chicago, I'm a White Sox fan, not a Cubs fan, which is a minority, which is that kind of fact. So that's the other thing. And obviously I
You'd
have
be
to
rooting
stay.
for the Bears this weekend,
Oh,
right?
my next thing was go Bears. This is a big one for us. We hate the pack, so you know.
So I guess by the time this airs, you could potentially have three playoff games.
But at least like yeah, tough, we'll see. Yeah. We're ahead of schedule, so we've had a good season already. So, but we certainly want to beat the
Crazy.
Packers because we hate the Packers.
I can
Yeah.
only imagine.
So I guess that would be my fun fact, I guess, about that I decided to become a wakeboarder at an advanced age and got obsessed with it. So that's fun.
Has it caused any injuries?
No, I've been okay so far. I've certainly had many face plants and all that kind of stuff. One time
It's
I
to
thought
be
I
expected.
pulled my arm out, but it didn't. That was okay.
It's to be expected. To be expected.
We try to, right? So, but it's fun. But we're lucky to be able to do it and, all of those kind of things. So,
Perfect. My final question I have for you, Barry, is why should someone want to do business with Barry in private cap?
well, because I appreciate the question. One is because I'll start with one thing. We do things with integrity and honesty and openness. That's number one. We're bringing value to there. We're going to try to do things that are frictionless. We're going to try to build long-term relationships with you and your company, be there for you, good, bad, whatever's happening. And, and we're open to suggestions, feedback. How can we make our processes better? So if we're working with you and you say, hey, you guys need to do something like this, and we can sit down and say, okay, let's figure out how we can do that so it can make it better, those kind of things. And the number one thing is for us you have to build a business, you have to bring some sort of value to it. What's the reason for it? And what we're trying to do is bring value. It's bringing extra funding and hopefully helping, our partners grow, right? Because everything is about growth and growth safely, right? And if we can help them expand their businesses and do this in the right way and be a real reliable partner, then that's a good basis for us to do business. So that's what I would say.
Perfect, sir. It's been a pleasure getting to know more about you today, Barry. It's always great seeing you.
Thanks,
Hopefully,
Jesse. I
our paths
appreciate
cross
it.
sometime over Q1. I'll let you know next time I'm in Chicago and grab some coffee.
Would love
But
to do that. Yeah.
appreciate your time. Congrats to you and Bill on Private Cap and your success to date, and excited to kind of see where things go.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I would say I don't know if congrats are in order yet. We're at the beginning of our journey, but I think we have a nice opportunity. I don't assume anything in business. We just try to put our heads down and really work hard to get it done. So, but thank you. I appreciate it. And thanks for including me. I hope it was worthwhile to have me on this thing.
Absolutely. A lot of knowledge and a lot of takeaways for people watching. So thanks again, Barry. Appreciate your time.
All right, man. Thanks again.
Thank you.